Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And welcome to Your Questions Answered, where myself, Adam Wilborn, and a member of the What Culture Wrestling team take on your burning wrestling questions. And joining me today to take on the Q&A community is Michael Hamflett, back for another round. All these questions tweeted to us at What Culture WWE. Watch that. You can follow both of us. You can follow him at Michael Hamflett. You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestling culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett. Let's dive straight into these questions, Hamflett. One that sort of sums up quite a few we got pretty instantly comes from Callum. I'm trying to use this as a bit of a catch-all. Callum says, is SmackDown actually that much better than Raw, or is it all just a fallacy? If so, what is it that exactly makes SmackDown better?
I think I'm closer to my fellow Dadley, Michael Sidgwick's very public distaste for SmackDown than I am people's gushing praise for it. I think it certainly stands as the lesser of two evils when held up against Monday Night Raw. But let's not lose sight of the fact that it's still pretty evil. It's not a good wrestling show, I don't think. I think it's got the better and more dynamic wrestlers on. I think the wrestlers themselves feel like marginally, and I mean marginally freer, because they feel like there's more time dedicated to matches on SmackDown than there is on Raw. Yeah. So there's less claggy promos kind of clogging the toilet bowl, which is what Raw always feels like.
There was a minute block on this week's Raw where there was a fight, there was a brawl, not an official match, but there was 54 minutes between official matches on Raw, which is getting back to sort of TNA levels of...
Oh my word. 54 minutes. Like, they don't really have that time over 2 hours on SmackDown. And, you know, like, periods for shows are forever defined by the stars on them at the time. And you can hate everything on a show and yet be so in love with the top programs that you kind of don't care, because the stuff in the middle that you don't like is just the delay to the bit that you do. And the two examples for me that, like, SmackDown in the last year had Sasha and Bayley, and then it had Roman Reigns, and it virtually had them consecutively too. You were kind of on the verge of wrapping up Sasha and Bayley when Roman Reigns returned as the tribal chief. His angles are brilliant. His promos are good. It's one of the rare cases where you kind of want that opening 10-minute promo for Roman to set the scene, set the table, as it were. They're generally quite good. And what it does is it just puts you in a better mood. So there's some characters that I think are just as bad as, and just as illogical as, the stuff you get on Monday Night Raw, but you're just in a more patient mood with them. You know, we enjoy getting to say the Dirty Dogs more than we enjoy getting to book them, because now it happens in that tag division, but you're just like, all right, yeah, this match will do, because Chad Gable's really good and the Roman Reigns promo at the start of the show was really entertaining. Like, and the Street Profits are a better example, right? Because how bored were we of the Street Profits on Raw? But, like, it's they're kind of a nice distraction for a bit until we get to the stuff that we really like on SmackDown. And I think that's it. I think, like, less time to waste and the better stuff. SmackDown's been blessed with having the better stuff over the last sort of year or so, that it just makes it easier to sift through the garbage. I genuinely think it's generous to say that it's good. I just think it's WWE operating at the best version of its pandemic self. I think a lot of times it's more entertaining and easier to watch than NXT. I'll give it that.
Yeah. Do you think Paul Heyman is, you know, he's not obviously in an official capacity, but do you think he's still involved to a certain, certainly with the Roman stuff? Is that why it helps the show as well?
Possibly. I'd like to think it was that, because we saw what happened when he was in a more senior role on Raw, and it kind of took the bloom off the rose, didn't it? Like, oh, there goes somebody else positioned as a savior under Vince McMahon's thumb, because they're still under Vince's thumb. You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to push my young guys. How are you going to do it? Gary the Goat Garbutt. You know, it's not like, oh, I'm going to get Ricochet over how? Loses to AJ Styles all the time. Cool. Like, it's you can have his ideas, but all of it is still ultimately crushed in the hands in, like, to dust by Vince McMahon. And I think letting Heyman be part of one character that he is involved with is a better use of Paul Heyman than trying to spread his magic across the whole roster.
I'm really torn on this, because I can see where you're both coming from, but more often than not, I'm sat there on a Saturday lunchtime having watched SmackDown and gone, bloody hell, what a great show. But then I, you know, the more I think, like the one time I actually sat there and had to analyze it when I was working on a Saturday, I think I also got a really good episode of SmackDown. So there's me feeling, yeah, this is great. Well, I'm like, I should more often sort of thing. But I will caveat this by saying the SmackDown preview is great. We have a good laugh on that, but it is also like Friday, so you're like, weekend. And like, it seems really simplistic, this, but I do think there isn't a factor to it. I wake up well-rested on a Saturday. On a very rare occasion, I'll stay up and watch SmackDown live. But more often than not, I'll wake up well-rested. I watch SmackDown, but like you say, maybe I don't take into account, because I go, I sit there and watch the Roman Reigns promo, obviously. Sit there and watch and backstage interview with Bayley and Bianca Belair, or you know, whoever it may be, and you know, it's divisive, but like the Apollo Crews, Big E, Commander Aziz stuff. But then, like when it gets to Natalya versus Shayna Baszler, or Tamina versus Nia Jax, or whatever, I've got to be honest, I do sort of go skip forward to the finish, because I don't need to make notes and analyze it or anything. And then I just, if I don't like it, I go, that was crap. Anyway, oh, let's see something else to distract me. And then, like you say. It's top, and it's the time, it's 2 hours, it feels a lot more consumable, you know, and like you say, usually it's topped and tailed by a Roman Reigns or a Daniel Bryan or an Edge in recent weeks and months. So I genuinely don't know. I think it's without question better than Raw, though, even.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even, like you say, and as I keep saying, it's SmackDown, do you get less rubbish now Raw stood next to you? So
yeah, it's like saying SmackDown's better than Raw is like setting a limbo bar up that the great Khali could walk under without having to duck. Like, it's just that, but it's a measure of how awful Raw is. Like, I don't want to, like, it's not my goal to piss on anybody's chips if you enjoy SmackDown either. Like, I don't want to undermine the particularly positive weeks or the great angles. Like what you like. That's always the message, Christ almighty. But yeah, I tend to feel like after I've watched a SmackDown, some of the praise feels glowing because people have just relieved they haven't just sat through a Raw.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking about SmackDown, though, Aaron Long asks, if Roman was to add wrestlers to his stable, good, I like that, in a bid to hold all the gold, who would you go with? Personally, I'd love to see Shayna Baszler as a Paul Heyman girl and go on a super violent run. Joe had been my thought for Intercontinental Champion.
Well, it wouldn't be a podcast if we didn't put Jimmy Uso set to come back. So let's just get him out the way now. I like a reunited bloodline, they were called, weren't they? Like, I like that as an act. I think it just fits and it makes sense. We've talked about this on another podcast coming soon to iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get them, about Sonya Deville. Is she making the choices to undermine Adam Pearce, or is she making the choices because she sees her best interests elsewhere? She's absolutely hard as, like, completely believable, not tarnished. So, like, relatively undamaged, considering, yeah, like, how a lot of the booking just destroys acts, and would be completely believable as a, like, a Paul Heyman project as well. And that's what you get if you're kind of folding somebody into the Roman Reigns stable, the table, is the kind of managerial assist of a Paul Heyman, somebody that Paul Heyman can respect and fear in the same way that he does Roman Reigns. And I like that angle in general. I can't work out what it is I like so much about the admin squabbles of Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce. And I'm wondering, the more I talk about it, if it's because, is there, is there a Roman Reigns looking on from the side, like, well, through Paul Heyman whispering in her ear, you know? I loved the very small detail of Roman getting in the head of Apollo Crews. Loved it. Mm. They don't have to be mates, but what a moment that is for both characters. What a moment that is for Roman to be like, why don't you just try doing this? And then Apollo's career turns around. Like that gets both of them over. And I like that Roman might have that like looming Soprano-y presence on SmackDown. So yeah, Deville would be a great one because he's plucked somebody from the top, effectively the top level, and brought them into the fold.
I love the booking of Shayna Baszler there, especially because you can either have it where they're all just, you know, all in a big stable and stuff, which is, you know, a bit convoluted in terms of, you know, do you want them people going, oh, you've got the Hurt Business over there? And I know we've sort of already got it on SmackDown, but it just feels like expanding it is dangerous, particularly with all the complaints with AEW, and people might just say, did you just copy an AEW? You know, I know they've not invented stables, but I do love the idea of Shayna Baszler acknowledging the fact that it's been crap on the main roster for her. And she thinks, well, I've seen what he could do to Roman Reigns. And there's a way you can introduce Team Angle 2.0, aka Team Baszler 1.0. Marina Shafir, who've just disappeared off the face of this bloody earth. And I'd love that, because in terms of like, I've got you an insurance policy, you might remember them. They're pretty bloody useful for you in NXT. Here they are. Oh, great. Here she is. Murder everyone, win the world title. Because, like, I'm telling you, it's still there. I promise you, they can still do something with her. I realize I'm shouting into the void every week, it seems, with Shayna. They completely missed the boat with her WrestleMania 36, but still, yeah. I think booking Shayna Baszler as a, I think anyone else, it'd feel quite convoluted. Like, Liv Morgan's gone really edgy. No. Ruby Riott, no. I think Aaron might have hit the nail on the head with that one. Right, let's get the admin out of the way for every podcast I have with you where I pitch for questions. Matt Reigns has been in touch. He says, hi, yeah, Matt Reigns again, Cedric mega fan. Can this Dudley please go on extended break again, only permanently this time?
It's nice that he sends in questions, because it's the only way that Matt Reigns will ever be heard on a goddamn podcast. A piece of shit. Thanks, as always, for your support. And my sympathy. My sympathies, as always, to Ashley Reigns.
And another question. So Oliver's getting involved now. Oliver says, when will the Hamlet versus Matt Reigns match take place? And if it's three stages of hell, what stips would you both pick? Matt's picked, he said, my pick is an IPA chugging contest. I'll let that bitch pick the other two. How are you with chugging and chugging IPAs in particular? Because I am dreadful at that sort of thing.
I mean, I welcome that, but it's funny that Matt Reigns has picked one, because I'm the one with the microphone. Interesting, isn't it? looks like I'm picking all three stipulations. 4-1, Matt Reigns in a shark cage. 4-2, Matt Reigns in a shark cage. I win 2-4-0. He just stays in the shark cage and we all go home.
Daniel BA4 says, how low do the ratings have to reach for WWE to actually change something with their product?
Nothing now. The game is always changing, and we are barely, like, as viewers, to sort of tie us in, it's been a while since we made up 50% of their earnings and their profits. It feels like it's going to be an even smaller percentage as the years go on. If you look at the Peacock deal as the latest sort of like looming cloud that hangs over audience consumption versus creative change, like, I would love to think that if the same thing happened, if AEW's creative juices departed them and the ratings plummeted, then changes might be made. You know, that TNT would look upon the numbers and think, these are quite disappointing, we might not give you another 4-year extension or something like that, and then changes would occur. WWE's a different beast at this point. They're pumping out so much content every week. Content. Did you miss the Viking Raiders return after WrestleMania? Well, here's an identical match the second week. Like, have a go on this one. It's basically a practice match. Like, their return was basically a practice match for Adnan Virk to, like, you know, just like give his new job a turn. You never say never. There might, like, heads might roll, championships might change hands off the back of a slump. They might deem somebody not to be a draw and they might go with somebody else as a result. But I can't promise that you're going to like that somebody much more, or that the story is going to be better told or anything like that. They are pleasing their ginormous paymasters, unfortunately. I wish we were their paymasters, but we are not. And with the sheer amount of churn, they are pleasing him. I think you would need to see, I don't even think it's like pettiness might want Vince to beat AEW if, let's pretend, Dynamite and Raw went head to head. But I don't even think shareholders would look upon that with great frowns, as long as your likes of your Peacocks and your Disney Pluses or whatever were circling around the network.
The thing is, speaks volumes, the numbers that they did after WrestleMania. Because I think we've hit that bit where that's it. That's the lowest it may well get. Like, people will sit there and moan and complain, but they're such creatures of habit. And I love the fact that I tweeted moaning about it the other day and someone went, why don't you stop watching it? Well, what if I bloody could, mate? I'd probably still watch 2/3 of the WWE that I still watch, that I already watch. I'd probably still watch SmackDown. I'd probably still watch NXT, maybe not immediately the day after or whatever, but I'd drop Raw like a, yeah, cold bag of sick then tomorrow. Craig Gass, you know, WWE obviously struggling financially, so they had to release a few people just to really balance those books recently. Craig Gass says, out of all the recently released wrestlers from WWE, who do you think will surprise people the most on how good their post-WWE career will be?
I'm going to go with the Iconics.
Yes!
Perhaps that compliment feels backhanded, because the idea of surprise means that people don't have any expectations. I don't think that's the case, but I just think that we were only just seeing the surface level ability beyond that WWE brand comedy, which they'd mastered. I don't think the transition is going to be as easy as people think. And I think that's why it's going to be a surprise. I think if they turn up in, it's feeling like, I don't know, Impact more than AEW for whatever reason. I've got it in my head that they just seem to suit Impact more than AEW. But then one could argue that Impact's currently got a better women's division, so maybe it's the place for them to go anyway. Like, I don't think they'll settle as quick as people believe. I think it'll take some getting used to the new names, whatever the new catchphrase is. Peyton Royce, at least, probably Billy Kay as well, but certainly Peyton Royce will be expected to offer quite a lot in the ring straight away, because there'll be a lot of people that will be fighting a corner saying, remembering the My Potential Haunts Me stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, there's going to be some big matches expected out of her straight away, and it'll be interesting to see how she levels up to that test. But I think eventually they'll get there and there'll be a big deal and they'll elevate. I think that's what's going to happen with the Iconics. I genuinely believe, and it could be in the Impact Women's Division, but not enough people, myself included, on these podcasts talk about how great Deonna Purrazzo's run in Impact has been as its women's champion in terms of match quality. I think the Iconics might be able to bring more eyes. And I know they used to have two in the WWE. You know, they might be able to bring some more eyes to that product, so that even if they're not contributing to the great matches, more people are watching the great matches. I really feel like there could be a difference maker in that division.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Some great questions getting sent to us today at What Culture WWE. Of course, if you want to do this, we'll answer them every day on the news, of course. I can see why he's asked this question. Dopamine Explosion asks, hi guys, I adore the podcast. Thank you very much, Dopamine Explosion. Can I ask whether you could ever see Walter end up on AEW one day? Who would you like him to face, and why is that person Wardlow?
Great, yes. Walter's a funny one, isn't he? Because he seems to have it made. I wouldn't want to appear at the BT Sports studio, but Walter seems to have no problem with it as long as there's the promise of chopping some absolute loser. That's not fair to Ilya Dragunov. That was a hell of a beat, and I wouldn't want to take that. But you know what I mean? Like, I think that belt is meaningless. I don't think it's prestigious. I don't care. He could hold it for 3,000 days, and I don't think it's got much real prestige. But he feels like a prestigious champion, if you know what I mean. If you can kind of create that separation, as Paul would say. If the money's right, yes, I could see him going to AEW, because it doesn't seem to me as if he's been swallowed up by the majesty of being a WWE superstar. He enjoyed his little trip to Chicago to be out-chopped by Drew McIntyre, probably for a good payday. He's not become an NXT regular. He feels like a special attraction, you know, in like an American NXT. So I'd like to think he's a guy that kind of knows his worth. And if his contract was coming up and AEW were going to offer him a similar deal where he doesn't have to live permanently in Florida, which doesn't seem to be something he wants to do, like, why would he not take it? The dream matches there are, Wardlow is great, but so is Marco Stunt. You know, like a roster of AEW's range allows for countless amazing Walter matches, and he doesn't even need to be a weekly TV regular to make them fun.
Yeah, I love him as a special attraction. I think I do think that, and whether it's because I only see him on occasion, like you say, whether it be Worlds Collide or Survivor Series, or like you said with Ciampa and what have you, I think I don't think I'd want to see him every week or even every month, if I'm perfectly honest. So I love him as just I come in, murder some dude, chop their chest till it's red raw, and then go home again, sort of thing. But yeah, could very much see him in AEW, like you say, if they can match the offer that WWE has made in terms of organization. Sticking with AEW, and especially off the back of Dynamite this week, F&W Waffle says, I've had a feeling that AEW have been positioning Miro as the next challenger to Kenny Omega after Mox or Kingston. How do you think that will work out? Will he be received as a babyface? Yeah, could Miro be a title contender in AEW? We initially thought that they botched it, and then Arcade Anarchy, and he had the odd flashes in other matches. It could be a great tale of redemption for the former Rusev in AEW.
Yeah. I'll be honest, when he started talking about chasing championships, just to look at the size disparity and how much fun he had beating up Kip Sabian, Darby Allin started to slot into place as a kind of perfect pairing. Miro, I could see him trying Omega. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't see him winning that title anytime soon. He doesn't feels a long way off that level. But I think the match is fascinating. I think it's a really unique television match. It's one of those pairings that AEW like should hold on to, because there was certainly a point where like Miro was a WWE champion elect, and it just didn't happen for him. So to some people, Kenny Omega versus Miro will be a dream match, will be this clash that you wouldn't have imagined could ever happen, like until something like AEW came along. So they should hold on to that. But I could certainly see Miro as a kind of like cruel TNT champion. I don't know, like, I don't know if he unseats Darby or he loses to Darby but then comes good another day, but they've just ever so slightly, and it's pretty much as a result of him battering Kip Sabian, started to make a believer out of me in Miro. I think it's a long road back. I think AEW would be wise to take the time, because they have bungled it a little bit with him and with Kip Sabian and with the never-ending best friends feud. People are very, very keen to see it, but that doesn't mean you need to rush to give them it. Like, yeah. make the character feel like he's earned his way back, even though we'd probably welcome it straight away.
Heel or babyface, Miro?
Heel, I think. This one. He likes wearing his, like, obnoxious tracksuits. And, like, again, he beat the dog out of Kip Sabian, and you felt a bit of sympathy for Kip Sabian. And he's this little tosspot, isn't he? Like, if you're kind of, bless him, man. Like, that tells, if you were just roaring along with Miro, that tells me sod it, go with him as a babyface, just a total destroyer. But I think the fact that he drew a bit of sympathy out of Kip Sabian tells me that the money currently is in him as a heel.
Yeah. Maybe even when, like, Jungle Boy's world champion. That could be a hell of a...
Yeah. smaller guys that he can just be like breaking like wishbones, that sort of thing.
Sticking with AEW, Shaq asks, it might be possible for AEW to stay on Wednesday night because the NHL has games that start in the 10 p.m. time slot. Would it be good for Dynamite to lead into the NHL, maybe crossover opportunities for either company stars to show up on another's program? Yeah, rumors and question marks regarding, as I've joked about at the start of this week, the fact that the real winners of the Wednesday night were apparently hockey. But what do you reckon to that? Like, do you think they'll stay on Wednesdays? Do you think that could actually work for them leading into the NHL?
I guess so. I often worry that we're not, we don't know enough about how major sports work as lead-ins, or indeed for wrestling as a lead-in to major sports. It feels like it all comes down to money. I think like Tony Khan can talk a good game about the importance of staying on Wednesdays and how they've earned their spot on the network. And equally, the NHL can like swing it around a bit and say, right, well, we're the NHL. We ask you to jump and you say how high. But it'll surely come down to money and numbers. If hockey, and I'm assuming it does big numbers, but if hockey sort of imposes its will on things, AEW will move and wrestling fans will have to just go with it. If it doesn't, then AEW can probably say, well, look, we've got an established audience here. We risk losing that if we move. It'd be nice to think that like they could be judged on proper metrics, on viewers, on retention. It'd be lovely to think that AEW have established a good relationship with TNT to the point where they don't have to move nights. But wrestling fans, unfortunately, often are the ones that are forced to make changes because their show doesn't hold the water as other sort of quote-unquote legitimate sports with the network heads. So if AEW does move again, then I wouldn't sort of hold that against AEW as a product. I would just hold it against the kind of the game they're in, unfortunately.
From AEW to NXT... this question comes from FWE. I just want to give a quick nod to their Twitter handle. Not a Abue Stan. Arsenal FWE is apparently interested in calling to their Twitter bio. If an opportunity arose in the future, should NXT move back to Full Sail?
Oh, yeah. Short answer. I know that relationship was as much to do with the... students that could work on it and the studios they had set up there, and there was a whole deal there. But Christ, this NXT product needs crowds, and I'm not sure just yet it needs WWE arena crowds. If there's a deal to be made, I think I would like them to make it. Yes.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think you know, I just want Full Sail crowds back. Maybe I just want crowds back. I think in particular, I love the feeling of a Full Sail, and obviously, you know, go back to big arenas when you've got the big takeover events. I'm going to be like presumably you are to your children. I'm going to say if you eat your greens, I'll give you a dessert. You have this horrible question. You can have a nice one afterwards. Neil says, since you don't like The Fiend, did you ever like Bray Wyatt as a character, and would you reinvent him?
I would reinvent him as often as WWE do, which is every single week when they pretend that it's a lore and it's one long-standing storyline for the past 6 years. I have fun now with you and Sidgwick talking about ways of things we can do with The Fiend, because he is just a piece of silly putty at this point, isn't he? He's not goo, he's black silly putty, and we can just enjoy molding it into all our fun. Did I ever like him? Yes, once. One night I liked Bray Wyatt, and I really thought they had something. And this happened to come up over the virtual desks with What Culture's own Gareth Morgan today. He had a tag team match with Roman Reigns on the, I think it was the April 18th, 2016 edition of Raw, where the two of them kind of like combined forces to push back the League of Nations. Remember them dweebs?
Yeah.
Like they were just irritants at this point, but they'd, you know, they found common enemies in WWE champion Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt, who had only just returned, and the two of them had a tag match. Bray worked as a kind of a baby face that Roman was suspicious of, but for the benefit of this match could be trusted. And that showed itself when the League of Nations ran in. There was obviously four of them. They ran in to kind of like attack Roman and, you know, sort of cheat basically. And then you go blah, 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 blah. And sure enough, there were the Wyatts. I think Luke Harper was injured, so I think it was Braun and Eric Rowan there to fend off the League of Nations, leaving it just a 2-on-2. Bray made good on his word. Bray hits the Sister Abigail. on maybe Alberto Del Rio, and without even looking, does the coolest thing the character has ever done, a no-look point at Sheamus for Roman Reigns to spear Sheamus out of his boots while the referee's hand is counting two, counting three. Go and look for it online. Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt versus the League of Nations. For all of 3 seconds in that no-look point, Bray Wyatt was the coolest motherfucker going, right? So, yeah, you say that I'm picky with Bray Wyatt. Look, 7 years, whatever it is, 3 seconds, he was awesome.
And also, you didn't dislike The Fiend the whole time. You and I were
back
of the What Culture office after SummerSlam, weren't we?
100%.
I love the entrance, the fact you didn't see him. You couldn't really see him. He's like a horror monster.
Yeah.
Right at that time. And then
jagged. It was odd. Finn Balor was in angelic white to sort of play at the darkness of The Fiend. That was impeccable. Absolutely impeccable. They killed it in a month. But that was the original presentation of The Fiend was unbelievable.
Again, another thing to add to another probably 10-point list of just like, wow, everyone really likes this Fiend. Should we book him in the world title? No, if you're not going to give it to him straight away, no.
It's funny, if you, hypothetically, you say about 10-point lists, I don't know, off the top of my head, if you were to Google the words 10 reasons why Bray Wyatt is WWE's worst modern creation, you might find a list. I don't know who wrote it, but like Google those words, you might find something. I don't know.
I promised a nice question if you did that one, so I'll give it you now. It's from Edward Shiraz Hands, who says, if you could make a crossover between BoJack Horseman and wrestling, wrestler would you insert into the BoJack universe? And if you like BoJack Horseman, can you advise anyone on any podcast that they should listen to?
Well, indeed. Podcast Horseman is a tremendous podcast, reviewing every episode of BoJack Horseman week by week that drops every Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get them. Leaves a 5-star review. You might get a star on the Hollywood Talk of Fame. It's really good. It's got Adam Nicholas in it. That guy, Christ almighty. Like, What Culture's Most Handsome Man. He's also erudite and he has some wonderful opinions on television and he carries the other guy doing it. So I fully recommend Podcast Horseman if you're into your BoJack. Thank you, Edward Shiraz Hands. He's always contributed to our podcast as well. I would go with, because BoJack deals so deftly with the themes of misogyny and sexism, with Vince McMahon himself. It looks at the production of Hollywood films from the very top down and how it's just... Well, funnily enough, there is a theme around BoJack about how ultimately underneath Hollywood is this figurative black tar, which is quite relevant at the moment, isn't it, in terms of like what gets pushed and who gets opportunities. So yeah, Vince McMahon himself feels like a perfect fit for that universe.
Traditionally this curses the podcast due to my dreadful internet when I say final few questions here, Michael Hamplett. Cross everything. Tyler Holloway says, hello, gents. Do you think we'll ever see a day where there will be a two-way street between the main roster talent and NXT?
I campaign for it on every podcast, it feels like, these days, desperately. Put them in the draft, put them in the brand split. Stop farting around and pretending it's a developmental one. It's not. Make it a third brand. And for Christ's sake, give some of those trapped NXT wrestlers a bit of breathing room, even if they fail on Raw and SmackDown. It's different. It's a different landscape than it was when the Golden Era were getting called up in 2015. Do it and do it yesterday.
Le Grand by 1,312th of her name says, how bad is the Nightmare Express?
Oh, I see what they're doing. They've seen my name. If you listen to our AEW review, I was quite kind to it because it was commandeered by the heels. So it's like, it's almost QT Marshall saying, Cody is an arsehole because he put his iconography all over a frigging bus. I'm going to take that bus. Like, I can just about let that go. That's slightly different to baby faces being arseholes with fancy cars. Slightly different. And they get one go to use it and they've done it now. Like, I don't need to see next week on Dynamite. And that being like part of Cody's introduction now. I don't need any of that. But yeah, wrestling has more than one megabus. But yeah, for this week and this week alone, the introduction of that I thought was quite nice. Like, it's good that Cody was hiding on there waiting to pick his moment.
Final question. I'll say this to last because I love it. And it gives us the most time to think about our possible answers for this. It comes from Michael Kohler and says, two-parter, only half of it is wrestling related. What is one song you would love to see used as a theme and for whom? And impossible question, I know, but favorite album of all time?
Michael Kohler's a great music head on Twitter. He often replies to me about music things. So I feel under additional pressure not to get this one wrong. I know it's an opinion. I know it's taste. My favourite album ever, I think, is still Grace by Jeff Buckley. It's one of them ones that like is on a lot of people's lists. So it's not like a fancy, clever or pretentious choice. But I'm a sucker for the seminal sometimes. And that's what that album was. My brother, I've got an older brother, and it was in the year 2000, I think, I first heard Grace by Jeff Buckley, which was 5 years after it came out and about three after he died. But I love my introduction to that album because I'd asked for a PJ Harvey album for my birthday and two CDs were wrapped. And the PJ Harvey one had a tag on saying, because you wanted it. And the Jeff Buckley had a tag on saying, because you need it. And I learned after the fact why that was. Grace by Jeff Buckley is excellent. Theme for a wrestler. I'm going to go with the theme from the television program, The Return of the Saint. And if that doesn't spring to mind what that song is, I encourage everybody to go and Google the scene where Alan Partridge takes Lynn to mourn her dead mother at the funeral, at the cemetery, right? So Lynn is there at the grave and Alan sits and waits for her, gives her about half an hour to grieve because he's got a very busy day. He's watching Bond films later on.
Yes, 10 minutes.
You've got 10 minutes.
Give everything you've got, Lynn.
Give everything you've got. And while Lynn's at the grave, mourning a dead mother, Alan is air drumming in the car to this total banger of a song. And it's the extended version of The Return of the Saint. And what's so great about it is that it's like, it's a wrestling theme in construction. So you get this like quite sort of low bassy start, like the boom, 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 boom. And Alan plays this beautifully because he's just tip, 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 tapping the steering wheel. And then he closes his eyes and goes, boom, 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 boom. And I've always imagined that as the bit where you burst through the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the, like you sort of sat there, you're in Gorilla, getting fired up. You could see it on like a WWE Network 24 special, where like this is the point where the boom, 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 but that's where the bottle of water goes over your head. And then, and you see Bruce Pritchard go like that. And then you go through the curtain, 100,000 people go wild. So yeah, the theme to The Return of the Saint. YouTube that, but please YouTube Alan taking Lynn to his mother's grave instead.
That's a hell of a shout, you know. Favourite album for me? I'm going to be incredibly basic here. I have to say, because they're my favourite bands of all time, AM by Arctic Monkeys. I'm from Chesterfield, very close to Sheffield, so I had a bit of an affiliation with Arctic Monkeys. They released everything that people say, that's what I'm not, that one. They released that when I was about 13. That was, you know, ideal. And then everything after that. I just think AM's just, it's an album I can listen to over and over and over again.
Arctic Monkeys story. I have a very brief Arctic Monkeys story. Their rise was so like seismic and rapid through the MySpace growth. I was working at a student union that had them on, that had booked them when they were tiny and then were set to host them when they were enormous. There was like security that couldn't deal with crowd surfers. The building was a fire hazard the whole night. And the building was such a ramshackle tin pot venue that we didn't even have a green room for them. So they just had to sit in our upstairs bar area while we set up the bottle bar. And they were just strumming their acoustic guitars and playing Oasis songs. And I didn't record that audio so I could later sell it on eBay, did I? So it's just left there in my memory, not being monetized at all. But they were very nice in real life. This was before they were enormous megastars. I don't know what they're like.
Yeah, I've been to see them in Sheffield. I've been to see them in big arenas. And I've been to see them at Leeds Festival. It got steadily more and more carnage. particularly enjoyed, because I'm a big fan of theirs. I love every album that they've released. Whatever people say that I am, that's what I'm not. That's the one I'm thinking of. But I particularly enjoyed the latest album getting released. Me and Josh Brown going, "Oh, is this even better than AM? It's certainly up there. It's very different." it's certain factions of Arctic Monkeys fans, maybe slightly late to the party, let's say. Maybe certain Strongbow Dark Fruit fans of Arctic Monkeys. Thinking Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. Oh, this isn't what I wanted. Yeah, well, because they changed their sound because they're mint like that. I'll tell you what, another album that I cannot get enough of, and this is very different from what I've just mentioned, is My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy by Kanye West. Another album I can listen to over and over and over again. And I'm going to pick a song from that as my wrestling entrance theme. And it's something I've used when asking about pissed with my mates to do wrestling entrance themed. A mate of mine had a thing in his lounge where he had they removed a wall. So there should have been a wall and a door, and the wall's been removed and it's now just been edged in like lights in built into the wall. So you can just turn that on and also feel like a bloody wrestler. So obviously we did that at a house party once. And I played All of the Lights by Kanye West, including the 1 minute interlude as an entrance for that, because yeah. And I suppose I hadn't really thought about who I could give it to, but Mustafa Ali, because he does the light gimmick. I don't bloody know. Mm-hmm. It'll get anyone over, and it would pop everyone's tits off in the arena. Great question, that though, Michael Kohler. Let us know yours answers to that actually underneath the tweet for this podcast at WhatCultureWWE, and keep letting us know your questions. We'll answer as many as them as we can going forward. Plenty more of these podcasts to come your way. I really enjoy doing these with all the members of the What Culture Wrestling team. Follow us all on Twitter. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. But thanks to everyone who sent us Twitter questions today and who've sent them to us for the news as well. They're always great to do in the morning with Andy Murray. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Michael Hamflett. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.